top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good evening. This is the Prime Evening News for today, March 21st, 2023. And I'm your presenter, Jade George. In the headlines, Justice Dr. Irvin Andre believes critical electoral reform is just one of the symptoms of the greed disease ravaging our society, and it is crucial to confront this problem head on.
The Big Station, Q95.
Energy Minister Senator Lisa Cummins disclosed that Barbados will be seeking to deepen relations with the Scotland-based Robert Gordon University to better respond to changes in the global energy landscape.
Q, top of the hour news.
And Baroness Casey publishes detailed findings on the independent review on the standards of behavior and internal culture of the United Kingdom Metropolitan Police Service.
Right on cue.
The news is brought to you compliments of West Indies Communications Enterprise. The details of these coming up next.
Cue, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
According to Justice Dr. Irvin Andre, we have a responsibility to make sure that people are aware of the Dominican situation, since it has an impact on every aspect of the democratic way of life. Due to their perceived antagonism, the political system, he observes, poor individuals are unable to get employment and receive assistance. Abolitions of civil servants have occurred because of alleged rivalries.
That's why it's so important. Persons may not see it, but we do have an obligation to ensure that despite the pronouncements of the apologists, persons are made to see and understand that crisis, because it affects every part of the body politic. There are poor people today who can't get a job, who can't get help, not because they committed a crime, but because some relative or somebody opposes what's happening in Dominica. There are persons whose careers have been aborted in the civil service, not because they did anything wrong, but because they oppose, they are perceived to be opponents of the political directorate. There are certain doctors, whether it's IP or UP, whether it's Hazel, whether it's Dr. Dale, whether it's Dr. Sam, who cannot work, not because they did something wrong, but because they are perceived to be opposed to the political direction. And who suffers? Whenever a minister gets a bobo, he's flown out to Guadeloupe and Martinique. All the persons have to do whatever they can do to survive. Their relatives have to be bringing paracetamol to the hospital for them to be properly taken care of.
He went on to say that election reform is just one of the symptoms of the greed disease that is ravaging our society, and that it is crucial to confront it. According to Andre, no nation can thrive under such a gospel of greed, hence it is crucial to confront this issue head on.
So this is not just about voting. The voting is very important. But unfortunately, that is just one aspect of the cancer that is eating us, with no cure in sight. So this is why it's so important. Don't worry about the naysayers. They're naysaying because of what they get. Those who pass bad checks, those who loan owe every business person in Roseau, those who never did their jobs when they held responsible positions, those who get money to distribute to sycophants and acolytes. They're there because they're getting benefits, that's all. But no country can survive on that basis. No country can survive on that gospel of greed. And that is why it's so imperative that we have to take this issue of electoral reform head on, because it is just one manifestation of a more fundamental problem in this society.
The assumption that the DLP regime can try to reject any legislation recommended by Sir Dennis Byron may be true, according to Justice Andre. He believes Sir Byron has been tactically criticizing the passive role and lack of activity of the Electoral Commission. Andre believes this is a result of the Electoral Commission's negligence of its responsibilities.
The government can just refuse to enact any legislation based on the reforms proposed by Sir Byron. The fact of the matter is that Sir Byron himself has been implicitly criticizing the function or the work of the Electoral Commission. They have been derelict in their duties. They're the one charged with the responsibility of ensuring that elections are free and fair, of cleaning the voters' list. There was some cynical, bogus interpretation by some senior counsel that the Electoral Commission lacked the authority to clean the list. Pure nonsense. Go anywhere in the Eastern Caribbean and talk that foolishness, they'll laugh you out of their country. It's as simple as that. But the Electoral Commission has succumbed and they have laid prostrate at the feet of the political directorate. That's the problem. Look, we have to look at all this in a much broader context.
Andre continued by pointing out that the integrity of the commission has been undermined. There is no separation between what the Attorney General does and the government's policies, because both institutions were established by the Constitution to maintain a system of checks and balances. He points out that this is about more than just election reform, because the disease is spreading to every aspect of the body politic.
Look at the Integrity in Public Commission. Is that how the name? Look at every institution of governance in Dominica. The same phenomenon. We have a capture of the integrity or the very soul of these institutions which have been set out by the Constitution to ensure a system of checks and balances. Look at the AG. I think it was Severin McKenzie said, and he's right, cynically, that the government has their Attorney General. It's not theirs, you know, Gasson. But there's no distinction between what the AG does and the government policies. They're tied and joined at the hip as if they're Siamese twins. Look at the DPP, Gasson. Same crap. The institutions have been compromised. So we're not just talking about electoral reform. We are talking about the metastasization of the cancer in every part, every joint of the body politic.
Justice Dr. Irvin Andre, National Joint Action Movement Vice Chairman Severin McKenzie, points out that our voting systems must adhere to certain fundamental obligations. Since the DLP regime leader directly benefits from electoral system defects, he should not speak or take the lead on election reform.
So if the Prime Minister decides to take the bull by the horn and decides that he's going to Parliament with any piece of legislation in the next few months, and if the President takes the same amount of time that he took in the last cycle to appoint a commission, these are some of the things that we have to consider. There are some constitutional responsibilities that have to take place. And the Prime Minister should not, and I think I've said it before, the Prime Minister should not be the one, you know, speaking or taking the lead on electoral reform, because the Prime Minister is a direct and the biggest beneficiary of the flaws of an electoral system.
McKenzie is of the opinion that the election reform in Dominica is not feasible without addressing the excessive abuse of campaign finances. He also thinks that the majority in Parliament will pass the legislation when the government presents it to Parliament for passage, unless the Dominican population wakes from their slumber and vigorously opposes it.
We could do whatever we want in Dominica with electoral reform, unless the extravagance of money in this campaign is not taken care of. We could clean the voters' list. We could put all types of laws to prevent overseas Dominicans from voting and all kinds of things. Or every time this system continues, we have money. The type of money that is allowed to flow in this election process, unless this is brought under control with some serious electoral financing, we are actually just topping mud. And I believe that when the Prime Minister decides to go to Parliament with whatever legislation, he can tweak it. And I know that we do not have the courage as a people to question it. And when it goes to Parliament, the eyes will have it, because people do not have the energy. Apparently, they have given up on protesting.
And that was Sever McKenzie, Vice Chairman of NJAM. Leader of the Dominique Freedom Party, Bernard Ito, claims that we cannot allow one man to control our life for many years, as Dominicans believe in a country and as 70,000 free-thinking people. He contends that we must continue to be a free people and defend our institutions and our way of life.
We, the people who believe in the soul of Dominica and believe that we are a free people and we need to remain a free people, and we cannot allow one man, one individual, through his acolytes, of course, but one individual to capture not only our institution, but now to capture our very lives. And we cannot allow that. We cannot allow that as 70,000 free-thinking individuals to allow one human being to capture our lives for decades. That must end.
He contends that since the freedom of Dominicans and the soul of Dominica are at stake in this conflict, it is essential to keep presenting it from the citizens' perspective and to generate emotional energy behind it. Ito asserts that because the population won't get what they want from the DLP, they must continue to tell the story.
And this is what this fight is about. This is about a fight for the soul of Dominica, for the freedom of Dominicans, and we must keep putting it in those terms very clearly to the citizens, to ourselves, and to build emotional energy on that basis. Because we are not going to just simply, Iscariot is not simply just going to give us what we want. We have to own that story. We have to keep owning that story, and this is what this is about.
Bernard Ito, leader of the Dominica Freedom Party. President of the United Workers' Party, Lennox Linton, argues that the UWP views the issue of re-registering and verifying people on the voters' list in a select few overseas locations as a thorny one, which ensures the manipulation of electoral process in the terms of those who live abroad. According to Linton, deploying enrollment officials from Dominica to different nations to choose where enrollment centers should be located is inherently biased and ignores the expense issue that the consultants noted.
This question of overseas confirmation of persons on the register of voters is troubling to us in the opposition United Workers Party for many reasons. We think it's a Trojan horse for manipulation of the process in terms of the overseas residents. We believe that sending enrollment officers from Dominica to select parts of the world where there'd be enrollment centers set up is inherently discriminatory and really doesn't address in a material way the cost consideration that the consultants have raised, because the people spread far and wide across the globe from Dominica. The way that is fair to all concerned is for them to return to Dominica to have their franchise reestablished if they've lost it. And they've lost it by their own actions, not by anybody else's. So they should come back to their homeland to be confirmed on the register, because they have to come back to their homeland to vote anyway. They can't stay where they are and vote. Voting remains an in-person thing that takes place in the Commonwealth of Dominica, where the government is being elected or chosen.
According to Linton, the UWP is very concerned about any system that permits manipulation of the process, even at the level of validating the existence of certain individuals on the voter list.
The question of being concerned with the financial implications of confirmation on the register for persons living overseas without any concern expressed for the financial implications of persons living overseas coming home to vote, especially where we know one political party through the last 3-4 election cycles have been finding money that nobody knows where it's coming from to spend millions of dollars on paying the airline passages and paying for the ferry tickets of persons to come in to vote, corruptly influenced to vote in the election. And any arrangement that allows that sort of manipulation of the process, even at the level of the confirmation, is of grave concern to us. And so we place that on the table because the consultant in his report did indicate that the opposition expressed its reservations about that particular clause. And he did indicate that it was square bracketed, meaning it was likely to be removed, but he invited comments and justifications why it should be retained. And one of them, even stated in the report itself, has to do with the financial implications of confirmation on the register.
Lennox Linton, president of the United Workers' Party. The Rotary Club of Portsmouth organized a beekeeping project in 2022 that gave 30 aspiring beekeepers training in apiary management and business-related topics, hives, PPE, and beekeeping equipment. Each beekeeper received more than $3,000 EC in total. The initiative also involved the creation of a children's activity book about beekeeping and a public awareness campaign to inform people of the value of bees. The Rotary Club of Portsmouth is collaborating with local nurseries and farmers to increase citrus availability in Dominica. Project Chair Mac Murray Joseph of the Rotary Club of Portsmouth says the club is progressive in seeking opportunities to create and enhance livelihoods of beekeepers in Dominica. Recently, the club was awarded a grant from the Republic Bank's Enabling Sustainable Futures, Be the One to Make the Change, challenges to further equip beekeepers to access the necessary resources to increase their production.
And we are very excited to bring the beekeeping project towards to an end, a very successful end. And we collaborated with Rotary Clubs in Canada and also Israel Aid in implementing this initiative. We would like to see this initiative go further, so we applied to funding from Republic Bank. We received funding from Republic Bank Enabling Sustainable Futures to ensure that we can provide equipment, tools, and hives for beekeepers on Ireland. It's our goal at Rotary to see beekeepers in Ireland implement sustainable businesses, and that works well for the beekeepers themselves in their livelihood and also for the environment. We believe that once there are more bees on Ireland, then the farmers can benefit to ensure that there are better yields. And we have seen that in our last project, and we're very excited for this initiative.
Project Chair Mac Marara Joseph of the Portsmouth Rotary Club. The various steps that may be implemented right once to cut greenhouse gas emissions and prepare human-caused climate change are detailed in a significant UN report of reports from the reputable Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC. The study, Climate Change 2023 Synthesis Report, which was published on Monday after a week-long IPCC session into Interlaken, brings into sharp focus the losses and damages experienced so far and predicted to continue in the future, which are particularly hard on the most vulnerable individuals and ecosystems. A century of burning fossil fuels together with uneven and unsustainable land use has resulted in temperatures that are already 1.1 degrees Celsius higher than pre-industrial levels. Because of this, extreme weather events have become more frequent and intense, increasing the risk they pose to both nature and humans throughout the world. With global warming, it is predicted that food and water insecurity would increase. When these risks mix with other unfavorable occurrences such as pandemics or wars, they are much more challenging to manage. UWE student Antigua-based Janet Alexis says a street fair will take place on Great Marlborough Street this Friday from 9 a.m. to 3. This will be the culmination of Social Week, Work Week, where several social partners have come on board to display their social services. Social Work Week is marked in March to celebrate school social workers across the globe and appreciate their work in helping students achieve academic success. She lists the various partners.
So we have, apart from the social welfare division, where you have the general welfare, you have the child protection unit, you have probation unit, we have FORTERCH, adult education, the HIV unit. We have at least 15 other social partners who will be partnering with us. And to make it more exciting, we have the magistrates court who will be coming to, you know, just to let the public know and to interact with the public, the proceedings of the court. If you're arrested, the police will be there as well. to walk us through when you are being arrested, what happens, or when your children are being arrested, what happens. And we are hoping to have a great time. But most of all, we are having a short ceremony prior to the event and the opening of the event. And we are hoping to have the PAL rep of Rosal Central with us, because the activity will be taking place in her constituency. So we are hoping to have her with us. And after, we will have the street fair.
Antigua-based UWE student Janet Alexis. Meanwhile, head of the UWE Open Campus Dominica, Dr. Kimon Joseph, says she can empathize with the struggles social workers face.
I know how thankless the job is. Sometimes you give a case your whole heart, and in the end is a haunt you get in return. Like our Christ, your heart aches and cries as you see the circumstances that some people face. Social workers, you give your time, your talent, and your treasure in order to help people. Sometimes your back is against the wall, and just when you're about to give up, there is a breakthrough. And that is what makes you go back tomorrow, because you are hopeful that each day will bring at least one new breakthrough. We at UWE remain committed to training people in the area of social work. We firmly believe that though you may have the natural talent for something, it is important to seek training in the areas that you are interested in. And so, we offer degrees, certificates, diplomas in social work, as well as diplomas and degrees in youth development work and a diploma in social services. In our continuing and professional education, which is our short courses, we offer introduction to counseling, advanced counseling, counseling victims of abuse, and conflict management.
Head of the UWE Open Campus, Dr. Kimon Matthew. Joseph. In other news, Barbados will be seeking to deepen its relations with the Scotland-based Robert Gordon University to ensure it is better positioned to respond to the changes in the global energy landscape. The disclosure from Energy Minister Senator Lisa Cummins during her presentation in the Upper House. She will also be working with local institutions at all levels to ensure the students are job ready.
We are going to be working with partners, including Robert Gordon University out of Scotland, to model Barbados's energy trajectory over the next few years and the associated knowledge economy that it would require in order for Barbados to deliver on that, and what investment would go along with it. So, Mr. President, let me simplify that. Once upon a time, you used to have petroleum engineers. They used to focus on oil and gas. Now, there are so many new sub-disciplines that have evolved in the energy sector that Barbados now must position its education sector to produce those skills.
And the Metropolitan Police are racist, misogynistic, and homophobic, according to a report following David Carrick. Britain's biggest police force is institutionally racist, misogynist, and homophobic. A damning review found, and there may be more officers like killer Wayne Cousins and serial rapist David Carrick. The Metropolitan Force has failed to protect the public from officers who abuse women. Organizational changes have put women and children at greater risk, and female officers and staff routinely experience sexism, the report said.
The landmark report has found the Metropolitan Police to be institutionally racist, sexist, and homophobic. The author, Baroness Louise Casey, has warned that the Met can no longer presume that it has the permission of the people of London to police them, and said the force may need to be broken up. Our Home Affairs editor, Jason Farrell, has the story and a warning. His report contains some flash photography from the very beginning.
Londoners, and particularly women, have been failed. This review, born out of the murder of Sarah Everard, found that even the policing of her vigil further damaged confidence. But it also reveals the lack of faith is shared by many officers. One says rape convictions are so bad it may as well be legalised. There are stories of rape tests being ruined because of broken fridges, and a female officer who reported being raped by another officer who was then forced to work with him.
Even as we publish this report, there hasn't been a change across the whole of policing that says anybody that's got domestic abuse on their record, or anybody that has indecent exposure, isn't automatically removed from the ability to be a police officer. So I think
you think they should be?
Of course they should be.
The report finds a bullying culture underpins the Met's problems. It tells of initiation rituals with junior officers urinated on and one sexually assaulted in a shower.
It's ghastly, isn't it? You sit down and read that report and it generates a whole series of emotions. It generates sort of anger, frustration, embarrassment. It generates some pride as well, which may sound odd, but it's our men and women who care about the policing of London who've given most of the evidence for that report to Louise Casey, which is a testament to their commitment.
When police officer Wayne Cousins murdered Sarah Everard, his case prompted the first victim to report serial rapist David Carrick. And one of his victims told us that she was left so traumatised she feared all uniformed police officers.
I would just freeze, stop breathing. In my mind, I was just straight away thinking, they're going to harm me.
What does the police need to do to win back your trust?
I think they need to go through the force and vet every single guy that is working there. Yeah. And even if there was a mention of a minor domestic violence argument, to fully investigate it.
Among many recommendations, the report calls for a new independent team to deal with misconduct cases, end-to-end vetting of police officers during their time in service, and disbanding the Parliamentary and Diplomatic Protection Unit, of which both Cousins and Carrick were members.
It's nearly 25 years since the McPherson Review found that the police was institutionally racist. Now, not only are they found to be racist, but also misogynistic and homophobic. What is the government going to do about this?
Well, the report is clear that there are systemic and chronic problems with leadership and culture. And what we need to do is change the culture, change the practice, and change the systems in place that are running and regulating the Met. And that depends on the leadership.
Louise Casey says leadership has till now repeatedly failed. And it is leadership she hopes that will in time repair the damage. Jason Farrell.
That's the Prime Evening News, but first, there's a recap of the headlines. Justice Dr. Irvin Andre believes critical electoral reform is just one of the symptoms of the greed disease ravaging our society, and it is crucial to confront this problem head on. Energy Minister Senator Lisa Cummins disclosed that Barbados will be seeking to deepen relations with the Scotland-based Robert Gordon University to better respond to changes in the global energy landscape. And Baroness Casey publishes detailed findings of the independent review on the standards of behavior and the internal culture of the United Kingdom Metropolitan Police Service. The news is brought to you compliments of West Indies Communications Enterprise, and I have been your presenter, Jade George.